I've been focused on a couple of big writing projects right now, keeping me stuck indoors, but I made plans to break out on Friday and headed to the Saxon Bog with John Richardson. John's been part of the Minnesota birding community for quite a while now, but settled here in my own neighborhood of Duluth just last fall, and I haven't had a chance to get out birding with him. He just started his own birding company, Skylark Guiding Services, and since my dog Pip's webpage is called Such Larks Pip after a line in Great Expectations, well, it seemed obvious that I should take Pip birding with a real lark. I've had some pretty lousy luck with light when I've had chances to get out birding in the bog lately, but John apparently brought the sunshine. Unfortunately, not all the weather gods were favorable. The wind picked up right when I was trying to get a good recording of boreal chickadees singing, but my hearing is bad enough on those high-pitched sounds without dealing with wind making them even harder to hear in the first place, much less allow a clean recording. So that goal in going to the bog did not work out. We didn't see any owls either, but I wasn't expecting that, especially on a bright day. We got lots of nice birds nonetheless, starting with a ruffed grouse eating buds in an aspen. Grouse have an amazing digestive system with two offshoots where the large and small intestines meet, called ceca. These ceca grow enormously in winter because that's where digestion of cellulose from those woody buds takes place. The ceca shrink in spring when the birds switch to berries and bugs. Throughout the bog, we kept seeing redpoll flocks, and there were quite a few at the feeders at the bog's visitor center, along with the usual adorable red squirrels. There weren't all that many birds at the feeders, but the ones that were there were wonderful. At the suet and peanut butter feeder on Admiral Road, there were black-capped chickadees and red-breasted nuthatches, of course, but also a couple of boreal chickadees and six gray jays. Intriguingly, one of those gray jays appears to be leucistic. The dark marking on the right side of the head was very washed out. It was a gorgeous, if strangely asymmetric, bird. And speaking of corvids, there were ravens and crows all over the place. John is extraordinarily quick at identifying them from a distance and is actually accurate at it. The coolest thing was that the ravens were twitterpated. We saw one making cool swoops in the air while another on the top branch of a snag was watching. Then the flying bird alighted very, very close to the other. We also saw one carrying a big rectangular white thing that looked at first glance like a piece of white bread, but turned out to be a big piece of birch bark. It must be nest building time. Right when we decided it was time to return to Duluth, John spotted a tiny thing running on the road, a meadow vole. This one stayed out in the open a shocking amount of time, running across the road and ducking into snow piles only to come out again. Something must have disturbed it in its burrow, and it was searching for a new hideout. John was as excited as I was to watch and photograph it. Birding with a kindred spirit is always special. We had such satisfying fare throughout the day, and the vole at the end was like the pièce de résistance, so we headed home pleased with how everything went. But no sooner had we arrived in our own neighborhood in Duluth than we came upon a bustling flock of Bohemian waxwings devouring berries at a couple of fruit trees on Glenwood Street. At least three robins and a starling were also pigging out with the flock. Two or three cedar waxwings were tagging along. For the first time ever, I even got a few photos with the two species side by side. John was great fun. I'm hoping we can get out again soon. Pip was totally taken with them, too. Now when the three of us go birding, I'll have to tell her we're going to have such skylarks, Pip. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.